Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Luke chapter 9, we're going to look at a passage here starting with verse 57. Now, before you start reading this and looking there, I want you to just look at me for a moment, if you would. I want God this morning to rattle your cage. You know what that means? You ever see an animal in a cage and kind of you rattle the cage, it kind of stirs the animal up? You know what I mean? I want God to poke you with a stick. Not in the eye. But I want us to, kind of poke us with a stick a little bit. Like, hey, like, you just got my attention. You know what I mean? I could be talking to somebody and doing that, and my daughter could walk by and just poke me in the side with her finger because I'm a little bit ticklish. She could walk by and I'd go, ah, and she would get my attention from what I was doing. I want God to do that this morning. Okay, so turn to the person next to you and around you and say, I want God to rattle your cage.
Oh my God.
Tell somebody. Here's the thing that we discovered, that the animal in the cage does not want their cage rattled, right? And we could come in here and be very comfortable, right? Fairly comfortable and not want our cage rattled. We want to attend nice church. We want to hear a nice message. You're not going to hear a nice message, Dexter. I know you're with me. Uriah, get up here, quick. Come here. Seeing you sitting there. Give me a quick five. Attaboy. By the way, I didn't forget to dismiss Children's Church. Normally we have Children's Church during this service, and I was all ready to announce it. And the Sunday that I remember, they don't have it. So, if you're wondering why people are laughing, it's most Sundays we have children's church, and if you're visiting, you're like, I don't get the joke. I always forget. Almost always. And so. But the animal in the cage does not want to be bothered. Don't get my attention. Leave me to myself. Well, I want God to rattle our cage a little bit. Poke us with a stick, so to speak. Not to harm us. Not to make fun of us. Like maybe a young boy would do to an animal who's caged. I remember being a kid and going to the Milwaukee County Zoo here in Wisconsin and doing it on field trips, and I think we went as a family. Mom probably brought us. Dad was always working hard and long and busy at our ball games, but I remember going to the county zoo, and I was always taken with the gorilla. How many of you would remember Samson? That was his name. Do you remember him? Yeah. People younger than me would, like, well, I don't know. Is that in the, oh, that's the guy in the Bible. He was the gorilla. I was taken with him. And he was always behind the glass, and of course, they had you stand back always. I always wanted him to come in front of where I was at. I so badly wanted to just go up to the glass and go, mm-mm-mm. They don't let you do that. I wanted his attention. And I want God to rattle my cage. Mine, not just yours. Hey, listen, we walk on level ground around here. I stand up here so you can kind of see and hear better, but you and I, we're people. I don't care what our title is. I need God to rattle my cage. Once in a while, I need him to poke me with a stick and get my attention. And I want him to do that this morning. So Luke chapter 9, I want to share with you something just, it's very simple. But I wanted to get our attention. So Luke chapter 9, verse 57, it says, as they were walking along the road, Jesus and his disciples, and obviously there were some other people there, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. What a great phrase. And Jesus replied to this religious leader, because you'll find this in another passage also in Matthew, and identifies that this was a religious person who said this to him. And Jesus replies and says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, if you're going to follow me, you really want to do this, understand, you're probably going to have to leave some of the comforts that you have enjoyed, that have surrounded your life. And he's saying to that person, that man, he's saying, you know, your life's going to have to probably change. Doesn't mean that the guy has to become poor. It just means that what he's used to and what has insulated his life, if he's going to get close to Jesus and really follow him, life is going to change as that man knows it. Jesus then turns, it says here, to another person, and now Jesus calls out. He says to another man, follow me. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, God is still calling people. He's still calling out to people. Listen, he is still saying to you and I, follow me. He's still calling. Follow me. Be my disciple. I love you. Now he can say, I gave my life for you. I love you. I want you to be with me in eternity. I want you to walk with me through this life you now live. He's still calling people, and this person that he called out to said this, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Now, that would seem like a peculiar phrase probably to us in this culture and day and age, but that is not a strange phrase and in that time and culture. And he happened to call out to a person that was the living oldest son in the family, because they had the responsibility to make sure that they were there and present and taking care of all the family affairs and business and all that surrounded it when their father passes away. And so what he's saying is, I'm in the middle of a funeral. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I will, but you're going to have to wait, because there are some expectations that I feel that I need to fulfill. There are other things that are occupying my life. Not small things, but some pretty big things. Jesus said to him, this is always a hard saying, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That's a tough saying. What he's saying to that person who replied was, listen, go do the work of the kingdom of God. Be my disciple, okay? And leave the responsibilities and the expectations of others that they have placed upon you. Let those be secondary things compared to the primary thing. It doesn't mean that you can't ever go back and be at the funeral or make preparations for your dad. But that guy doesn't know the day or the hour his father's going to pass away. We don't know how old he was. He could have just been a young man. It could be yours. It's putting off the kingdom call and the kingdom of God, saying, later. Later. Lord's calling you now, and you say, later. There's some things I want to do. There's some things I want to enjoy. I really love you, but I love this other stuff more. That's really the message that we send. See, right now the Spirit's just starting to set his hands on your cage. He's just right there. And he's going to shake it a little bit. He's going to shake it for me. He's going to shake my cage. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. This is one thing I've discovered about humanity through myself and being with people, that you and I come up with really good excuses that we call reasons to put God off and to put his purpose and will in our life on delay. And yet, for those who are Christians and believers, we don't really want to say no, so we say later. We show God like a kindness, and like we kind of relieve ourselves of conviction and guilt by phrasing things just right, so like we won this word argument with God to put things off, to delay it, to make it sound like it's not a no. We make it sound like a yes, but not now. Or when I get old. Or after this, or after that, or I've got some other things in mind. And so we come up with these things that we justify, that we use as reasons, as my household does. They use quotes a lot in my house. They do this. We come up with these reasons. I want to ask you something. And I'm asking me, what are we willing to forfeit to be close to him? Because I will tell you this, not everything in my life, and I'm guessing probably not yours, is probably, not all of that is so welcome in where God wants to lead us. And we can't drag all this stuff with us and keep in step. Okay? Can't do it. Can't keep up with where he really wants to go, because we're trying to bring all this stuff we like, attitudes, maybe it's things, whatever it is, things we call responsibilities, things we've strapped or entangled ourselves with that now we have the responsibility. We want to try to be okay with God and still do our deal. What are we willing to forfeit for the move of God's Spirit in our life, in this church, in this community, in our workplace, in our families, amongst our friends? What are we willing to forfeit for something that's eternal? We can flip it around and we can ask the question this way: what is it that I am so desperately hanging on to that keeps me from a greater revelation of God? A greater walk of faith? What is it that I am, you know, bonding to? What is it that I won't let go of? What is it that I'm so enamored with? What is it that I'm chasing? What is it that I possess? What is it in you or in me that we hang on to, that because of it and our attitude towards it, it lacks a submission and an obedience, and it robs us of zeal and fervency in our walk of faith to pursue the Lord or be used by him? What is it that we would rather hang on to in this life rather than have the move of the Spirit of God? Let him shake the cage. Let him get my attention. Wednesday night, I had a little conversation in our Wednesday night midweek service with the adults. We had a little study and discussion, and I want to share just a piece of it with you. We read from Romans chapter 12, and it fits with Luke 9 in the context of, you know, what is in the way in our life that we are not growing in faith, that we are not moving along, that we are lacking to a great degree of the move of God's Spirit amongst us. I'm not saying that He's not doing anything among us. I'm not saying that there isn't a move of the Spirit among us. What I am saying is that there's more of a move of God's Spirit among us to be done. And we can settle into, this is good enough. This is okay. This is acceptable. I kind of feel the presence of God. I read my Bible. I pray. I have fellowship. I know the songs. I can kind of sense His presence. And I don't have to give up a whole lot. I like it here. Romans 12. I don't want to rob you, so I'm going to read the verses, and each one could be a message on their own, but in the middle there is something that fits with today. It says in Romans 12, verse 9, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourself, never be lazy, slothful, or never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, a fervency. That word fervor there, and sorry this is a review for a few of you who are here on Wednesday night, but the word fervor there actually means fire, to bring a liquid to a boil. That's what it means. I like in the original text and in the language of Greek or Hebrew that you can say one word and it actually means in our language a phrase. Wonderful language. Fervor. In other words, to bring liquid to a boil. If we're talking about a solid, the context would be that the solid would glow. It would glow, you know, like putting steel in a fire until the end gets red hot and it's ready to be forged and hammered into something useful. It's that kind of imagery. It's that kind of picture. Bring it to a glow. Here's the thing I've discovered, and you'll agree with this. I cannot wish water to boil. I wish it would get hot. I wish it would boil. No, I got to make a fire. And most of where we live, we don't have to make a fire, we just turn the knob. And if it's electric stove, the ring becomes like a glow, right? It turns kind of red. If you have a glass top underneath, you will see the red begin to glow. If you have the gas, you will see flames. Flames. I like flames. And you set the pot on there, and it brings the water to a boil. You've walked away, and then it's gone over, right? Stuff's on the, right? And then you say, she'll clean it later. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You know, it's that imagery. That is supposed to be our imagery of our spiritual fervor. Never lacking zeal, passion, commitment. Totally taken with, consumed. If you look at other forms of the word in the Greek, and actually the word there for fire is P-U-R, as we would translate it. But it's pronounced poor. And if you were to look at forms of the word in the context of that, and I don't want to get too teachy here or too heady, because I'll lose myself. I'm, you know, not brilliant. simple man. If you look at another form of the word in that context of fervor and fervency, it's kind of like our word espresso. It's pareso, and what it means is to be ignited, to be on fire, to have the fire of like a fever where it just takes you over. But if we can put that in the context of what our spirit and our passion and our zeal, our fervor for the kingdom, when you have passion for something, listen, you and I, when we have passion for something, we will make time for it and we will somewhere find money for it. We will. You will. You will study it. You will spend time on the computer researching it. It eats up time, hours. You are busy carrying responsibilities, and in your mind, it is occupying. It is taking activity in your brain. And it's taking up place in your heart. And you're thinking about it. I'm at work, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. But boy, I can't wait to get the new fishing rod. And now I got to play this conversation over in my mind of how I can portray this purchase of a new boat to my wife. It's a good story. Yeah. Whatever it is, if it's our passion, we will find time for it. Is he our passion? Is his word our passion? Is his kingdom our passion? Is reaching people for his kingdom our passion? That someone will receive healing, can we have a passion in prayer for someone else's benefit? Generally, when we have a passion for something, we forfeit other things that take up our time or our money, and we rearrange a budget, and we rearrange our time, and we rearrange our schedule, and we do all of that. How much of that do you and I do for God? Or do we just work Sunday 9:30 a.m. into our schedule? Are we okay with just where we're at? I mean, are you okay with where we're at spiritually? Are you okay with just the way the service goes when we even get together in this place? I mean, is this good enough? Or do we want a deeper revelation of him? I want him to come in and stir this place. I want you to be able to, you and I to be able to go out and go, I think God showed up in that place, and afterwards we're wondering because signs and wonders took place, and we walk out going, wow, that was outside my box, but it didn't conflict with Scripture. But wow, I didn't know God still does that. I didn't know he could do that. I didn't know I could believe him for that. I mean, are we just okay with good enough where I don't have to give up too much and I still come into church and I kind of sense his presence a little bit? So I just kind of feel like, oh, life's so good. Oh, Lord. Don't have to toil too much. Don't have to give up anything. Don't have to change anything. Don't have to say no to the recreation. Don't have to say no to the get-together. Don't have to, because, you know, I can just kind of fit it all into my comfortable life. You know, Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says, I baptize with water for repentance, but there's one who comes after me who I am not worthy to unlatch his sandals or carry his sandals. He, meaning Jesus, will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The word fire is another form of it there, and it's perio. And that Greek word means to be hit with lightning. I love that. It is to be hit with lightning and come to a point of combustion and flame. Such powerful words, and we just read and say, yeah, he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, that's so good. John the Baptist is saying, he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with lightning. Boom! Into our life. He does. That's how he baptizes. Listen, I want you to understand too, we get this imagery like when Jesus was baptized in water and said a dove came down from heaven, right? And we have this picture of, you know, that's not how it is. If you look in the original text and the context and you talk about the language and its figurative meaning, it means that this dove dove down. Like, give me a great military airplane, a F-16. Thank you. I knew I was talking to the right guy over here. I could have asked you and you'd have said, I don't know, United Airlines? F-16! Oh, you guys are getting all the sound effects over here. Sorry. Boom! You know, it dove. It wasn't, Jesus is holy and we're quiet in church and that's how the Holy Spirit moves. I have watched the Spirit of God come into a place and it threw people's shoes off, so to speak. It stirred them up. And I'll tell you this, when they walked out, they were lit up. He can do it. He's still interested in it. He's interested in you. Not just for the sakes of signs and wonders, but to give us a Holy Spirit fire, a fervency, a power that is beyond ourselves. But you know what? We could say we want to follow you. In his reply, we think, oh, Jesus is so gracious and merciful. And yes, he is full of grace, full of mercy, but he's also full of truth. And he says it to them graciously, but he still tells them the truth. There are things that you are going to have to leave behind, abandon, let go of. For the move of God and the Spirit of God to do a greater work in our lives. Or are we just good with the way it is? Don't disrupt it. Don't disrupt it. I'm driving my nice car. I live in a nice home. We wear nice clothes. Not too many troubles. Other than our debt load, and Lord help us financially, and you know, everything's kind of, we've got nice friends, we still get to go on date night. I'm talking to them, not you. Boys are yucky. Girls have germs. Thus saith the Lord. No, I'm kidding. Listen, life's all, you know, good. Let's have nice church. I hope God pokes you with a stick. Say it back to me. A little more fervency. Randy! I hope God pokes you with a sharp stick. Don't get carried away. I'll start to think you hate me. What's in the way? What is in the way? If God gave us a time and a date that he was going to land here, you and I'd be in a rush to clear the runway. And he wants to land in our life. But there's got to be a place for him to land. And you know what? It's not just, well, if God wants to, he'll just kind of clear it up and come on in. No. You and I have a responsibility in our faith. We don't make heaven by works, but because of our faith in Him and going to heaven, we do good works. That's what the Bible teaches. Faith and works go together. They are partners. They go hand in hand if our faith is real. So you know what? If our faith is real and we really want God to show up, then you and I will start clearing the runway in our life and give Him a place to land. It'll be the same thing. It has to be the same thing amongst us as a church body. Because He is still calling, follow me. I can't right now. I cannot go to prayer. I had my devotions earlier, Lord. I was talking to you. I read from the little book I got off the information counter at church. I read the scripture, read somebody else's thoughts about it, and that's good. And it is good. I can't go for more prayer right now. I can't go volunteer, I can't go serve, I can't go reach, I can't take time out because I've got to wash my Harley. I've got to put the wax on the chrome and then buff it. I've got to Oh, Lord, I'm so busy. We put them off, and we wonder why we get together, and we don't have a greater move of the Spirit, or we have some need in our life, and it's like, God, why aren't you answering? Are we making room for Him? I mean, do we really want to follow Him? Do I really want to follow Him? I mean, do I want to follow Him, or is pastoring just my job? Do I want to seek Him? Do I want to look for Him? Do I want to become clean? We looked last week. God has the ability to hate. And we looked at the scripture and the things that He hates. And God has the ability to love. And He loves deeply and passionately. And He loves you with a fervency. I want Him to know that if He should so choose, that He could land here and He can mess things up in our human order to bring kingdom order. And I know this because I've experienced it from different degrees throughout my life. I know this. I want Him to come. I love when He shows up. I love when He brings, in my mind, a mess, and yet it's kingdom order to Him. And I also know this, that I don't like everything that He does. Just like this. The reason He can rattle my cage is because there's a cage to be rattled, and there is things in His Word that still offend my flesh. It lets me know that Randy is still alive and still needs to be crucified. So what's in the way for a greater move, a greater revelation of Him and who He is and His Word? What's in the way? Is there some good thing in our life that's in the way? See, sin, we know. But have other things entangled us that they in themselves are not sin. But they have somehow climbed up the ladder of priority, or we have placed them there, if I were to be brutally honest, in our life. And now, isn't it interesting that when we do that, whether it's recreation or it's an attitude or it's a possession, that after a while it starts to own us? Though our name's on the title, it starts to own us. I'm sorry, as a believer, I thought we were already purchased. Is it that we're still up for sale? He knows how to forgive. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He wants to walk with us through it. He knows the way out. And he wants to rattle our cage and call us onward in him. You can say upward or deeper or whatever. He's still calling you. He is still calling you. Turn to the person next to you, and very seriously, I want you to look them in the eye this time, not just lean and talk, not just keep your head down and your ear, bark it over. I want you to look them in the eye, and I want you to say this to them. And take turns. Don't say it simultaneously. God is calling your name. Look at them. Say it. God is calling your name. I'd like us all to be quick to say yes. However, it may involve some conversation with him. Counting the cost. What needs to be done? How do I move further? Listen, don't grow anxious and right away jump to, you know, assuming things that, well, we're supposed to give up everything and we're supposed to... Hey, whoa. Don't go to the extreme because one thing was said from his word or by his spirit that offended your flesh. Don't go to the extreme. Just find out what the next step is. Move me along in faith. He will complete the work he started. In that phrase alone, talks about that it is a journey, it is a process. Certain things are done instantaneously, and then there's this process of walking it out. Let him, don't grow anxious about the future, and I got to give up on it. That means all this. Whoa. Just get close to him so that you can grow in fervency. You got to get by the fire if you're going to glow. You got to get by the fire if you're going to boil. Hanging around it, you won't even break a sweat, and yet you feel like you're part of the group. Don't do that. Get in the fire. Grow close to him. He will not harm you. And he will lead you to the next step. And you will grow in faith. And as you grow in faith, and he continues to become the focus and the center, some of this other stuff that we struggle to give up or let go of, I want you to know something. It will just fall off. It will fall off. It will fall off without a second thought. And the interesting thing is, a day will come and you'll go, I'm not even sure I miss it. Or you know what? Hey, maybe I'll go spend a couple hours and do that. And it's not in the way. It's not some big violation. And you're good with it. Let him walk you through it. This is not the preacher calling you to something that's not in the Bible. You listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus and let him call you. He knows the way. He knows your motive. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows what fires you up. He knows what ignites you. He knows what distracts you. He knows what tempts you. Let him disciple you and walk you through it with his wisdom and power and grace and mercy.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.